Have you ever wondered about the meaning behind your favorite song lyric, or why certain melodies make your skin tingle? I'm Cole Kushna, and these are the kinds of questions I try to answer on Dissect, a podcast that dives deep into one album per season, examining the music, lyrics, and meaning of one song per episode. I've dissected full albums by Kendrick Lamar, Radiohead, Tyler the Creator, Beyonce, Kanye, and more. Our latest season just launched all about MF Doom's Mad Villainy. Listen to Dissect wherever you get your podcasts, because great art deserves more than a swipe.
This episode of The Town is brought to you by FX's The Bear, starring Jeremy Allen White, Ayo Edebiri, and Eben Moss Backrack. Season 2 follows as the crew work to transform their grimy sandwich joint into a next-level spot. It turns out the only thing harder than running a restaurant is opening a new one. Television Academy members can watch all episodes at fxnetworks.com/FYC.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
It is Thursday, April 18th. Taylor Swift has a new album out tonight, The Tortured Poets Department, which is good news for everyone in the entertainment business except her ex-boyfriend. And if you're on TikTok, as Craig is most of the time when we tape this podcast, Taylor is back on the platform. I say back because for about 2.5 months, Taylor's songs and nearly all of the music released by Universal Music Group, the world's largest music label, has been taken off TikTok. That's Drake, it's Ariana Grande's new album, it's Billie Eilish, thousands of artists, both big and small. We haven't talked about this standoff much on the show, but it's a pretty big deal given how important TikTok is to the music industry. It's the fastest growing entertainment platform and a major place to discover and, importantly, to market music. But UMG and its CEO, Lucian Grange, are accusing TikTok and its Chinese owner of undervaluing its music and trying to bully it into a terrible deal in recent negotiations. Plus, allowing tons of AI-generated recordings that dilute the royalty pool for its human musicians. Many people thought this dispute would be resolved quickly, but here we are, 10 weeks later, and the UMG artists are still off the platform. But not Taylor. That's because she owns her music, of course. That's been true since the Lover album in 2019, and she's re-recorded a bunch of her previous albums. UMG just distributes and markets her music and administers her publishing. So the question here isn't whether Taylor Swift can put her music on TikTok. It's whether she should. Obviously, she can do what she wants, and there's probably no smarter business person in the music industry than Taylor Swift. But I made the argument in my Puck newsletter this week that the situation smells pretty bad. After all, Taylor Swift has positioned herself over the years as a defender and advocate for all artists. Remember in 2014 when she yanked her 1989 album off Spotify because her music was included on a free ad-supported tier. At the time, she said she was not willing to contribute my life's work to an experiment that I don't feel fairly compensates the writers, producers, artists, and creators of this music. She said something similar to Apple. It wasn't about her, she argued. It was about the little guy. But now Taylor Swift is without question the most powerful figure in music. And instead of standing up with all those young songwriters and other artists who are part of this UMG boycott, whether they want to be or not, she's turning her backs on them, in my opinion, in the name of promoting her new album. She's earned the right to do that, of course, but it seems kind of scuzzy to do that after you've publicly anointed yourself a defender of artists. Now, many, including my guest today, would argue that this isn't Taylor's fight to fight. It's UMG's, and she doesn't need to be a part of it. UMG is hardly a philanthropic organization. And Taylor might not even agree that this issue, which admittedly is more about promotion of music than the small amount of money that UMG and its artists make from TikTok, is worth drawing a line in the sand over. But that's what I'm going to debate today with Nathan Hubbard. Nathan's the former CEO of Ticketmaster and a music industry veteran. He also hosts the Every Single Album podcast and is an expert on all things Taylor Swift. So today it's Universal versus TikTok versus Taylor Swift. From The Ringer and Puck, I'm Matt Bellany, and this is The Town. Okay, we are here with Nathan Hubbard, who, in addition to being a longtime music industry executive, former CEO of Ticketmaster, and host of a very good golf podcast, he also hosts a podcast called Every Single Album, which covers different albums and especially Taylor Swift albums. So you are perfectly positioned to discuss the Taylor Swift UMG TikTok situation. Welcome, Nathan.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's get into this because I find this very fascinating. And let's preface it by just saying that nobody has commented. The Taylor camp has not commented on what's going on. UMG has not commented. TikTok has not commented either. But give us your impression of what went down here. Why is Taylor's music back on TikTok?
I think Taylor's music is back on TikTok because I haven't seen anybody make the strong business case here. Like, you saw The Greatest Night in Pop. They got a bunch of artists who'd never been to Africa to rally around a cause. Like, it should be not that hard to get a bunch of artists to rally around supposedly money being taken out of their wallet. And right. So you have to ask, what's going on here? Whose fight is this really? Mm-hmm. And why should artists care about it? I mean, the last time I checked, I have not seen a bunch of artists making posts to their personal social profiles about this battle. Have you?
I have not, although I have heard that artists are generally supportive of the cause, but they are not out there railing against TikTok. You are correct about that. But Taylor Swift is not like a lot of other artists. Her market power, obviously, is greater than everybody else. And she has, in the past, positioned herself as a advocate and sort of the person who is best positioned to stand up for artists' rights. And she's gone up against two of the biggest tech companies in this space, Spotify and Apple. And in the case of Apple, she won. I mean, she got Apple to materially change its policies after writing an open letter about how they were taking money away from artists. So it struck me as hypocritical for her to now essentially turn her back on those same artists and put her music on TikTok to promote her new album.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry that she seems a little busy being in the middle of the highest grossing tour of all time, about to release what will be one of the biggest streaming albums ever on Friday.
Okay, but tell me why. What, I mean, and I'm not saying she has a responsibility. She can do whatever she wants. This is not a legal issue. This is not she's earned the right to control her music. She went to UMG specifically saying, I own my masters. I own my publishing. Would you like to be my partner in distribution and marketing? They said yes. Everybody got into this deal with eyes open. She has a very competent lawyer in Don Passman who did all these deals. She can do this. And we have to presume that she made a separate deal with TikTok that enabled her music to come back onto the platform. And UMG is just in the position of, okay, we want to be in the Taylor business. You do what Taylor says. And that's the deal with everybody who's in the Taylor business. But doesn't it strike you as hypocritical to position yourself one way when you are, you know, trying to make a name for yourself as the biggest star in the world? And then once you get there, to not participate in a boycott that is harming all of these other artists?
Not in the slightest. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
I read your piece where you said Taylor Swift had crossed a picket line. Mm-hmm. There is no picket line. Nobody's up there got signs. There is no movement from artists. I think Lucian Grange is brilliant, but I have not seen a single artist parroting his pitch for why this is important. I haven't seen other record labels signaling that they too will pull their music when their deals are up. It's been subsumed by the usual territoriality in music, right? Somebody on the business side has to lead this issue. And if you haven't won Taylor Swift, who is sending artist after artist into orbit, Sabrina Carpenter, Ice Spice, Suki Waterhouse, Gracie Abrams, and who, as you say, has done more to advance the cause of artists of any individual artist since Prince. I think something might be wrong with the pitch. And so the issue with the core is why the music industry tends to be on the trailing edge of a lot of the societal and technological trends. It is fragmented by design. There's no real union of artists in the way that there are athletes and actors. But that fragmentation creates an incentive problem. And this is going to get at the core of what's happening here. Labels care about first week streams. Promoters care about ticket sales. But in large part, artists' partners aren't incentivized to build these long-lasting, more impactful, ultimately more profitable careers. You'd never activate the largest consumer brands the way we do in the music business, right? This is whatever the opposite of LVMH is, that's the music business. Mm-hmm. And right now, the biggest artists in the world are making music in service of the rest of their business. 80% of income comes from the road for artists.
Okay, but you don't want to just let a Chinese company walk all over you. I mean, there are reasons why you draw a line in the sand. And if TikTok is not paying the same royalties that other platforms are you just saying, okay, TikTok, you're cooler than everybody else and just walk over it? I mean, UMG is not a union. I get that. It has a very self-interested incentive here. But it is standing in the place of what a union typically would do here, because it does, quote unquote, represent all these artists that are signed to it. And it is saying, we are standing up for the bottom line for these artists to get them paid what they should be paid. And if TikTok doesn't want to pay this, the artists that amount, then they're not going to get the music.
Then why are no artists rallying to this cause? And the answer comes back to that stat I gave you. If artists are making 80% of their income from the road, you know what TikTok does? It helps sell tickets. Every single night of Taylor's tour, kids are tuning in to watch the surprise acoustic songs or Sabrina Carpenter's outro on her song Nonsense. Like, it's giving them FOMO and they're buying tickets. So why should Taylor stop that? She'd probably give away the royalties for the exposure. She's actually
She's a billionaire.
TikTok.
She's a billionaire.
But so does every other artist. I'm not seeing another artist stand up and do that. What she's telling you is what other artists are quietly telling you, which is that the money that we make elsewhere makes it worth the tax on my music. So if you want her to take the lead, like, you got to make the case.
I get it. But you believe that Taylor is sending a message to other artists. This is the woman who wrote when she was standing up to Apple in that fight. She wrote, "This is about the new artist or band that just released their first single and will not be paid for its success. This is about the young songwriter who just got his or her first cut and thought that the royalties from that would get them out of debt. This is about the producer who works tirelessly to innovate and create." Now, all of that is being thrown out and she's saying, let's give away our music to be a marketing vehicle for our other businesses, which I have, but you may not yet.
I mean, it sounds like you want her to solve American infrastructure and nuclear fusion at the same time.
She has no responsibility to do that, but she has entered that fray and positioned herself as someone who is an advocate for these causes.
But maybe then what she's saying is to the rest of the artist community, she's communicating the benefits of owning your own art, because you get to make decisions holistically about what is best for both your art and your career. You eliminate the incentive problem we talked about that exists for artists when you have stakeholders who are only invested in one portion of your revenue. Taylor makes more from a single ticket sold than Spotify makes in an entire year from a subscriber. So when you think about holistically how to activate and manage a brand and connect directly with the fan base, TikTok is at least providing that service. If artists wanted to step up and stop this, they could en masse. They could boycott the entire platform. Every micro generation has its own platform. You can draw a through line from Facebook to YouTube to Twitter to Instagram to Snap to TikTok. This too shall pass. But they aren't. And I think, yes, you can make the case that TikTok is an agent of the Chinese government. It sure looks like the House of Representatives is going to put a consensus bill, amazing in American politics, on the floor this week that, you know, restricts or quote unquote bans it. But if she's not doing it right now, you got to look at what the deeper meaning is, because her history, you're right, is of being a strong advocate for artists. And I think if you are looking at this through the lens of money that the record label makes, I can see why you'd fight that battle. But if you're not, again, why aren't any other artists standing up saying this is important? Nobody's really effectively made the case.
If she doesn't believe that this is the artist's fight, or she doesn't believe that this is the right fight to be making, why did she let UMG pull her music in the first place? I mean, it's been 10 weeks. She let this go on for 10 weeks and only acted when she had a new album to promote. Where's the ideology there?
I'm not sure the answer to that question, but I would say this. I'm sure that at the outset, maybe the pitch that she received and that other managers received sounded decent. And they all went in on it saying, hey, I don't know, should we, this feels a little sketchy. We're shooting ourselves in the foot potentially. But after a period of time, this is not a movement. There's not outcry. Again, there is no picket line. Haven't seen anybody with a physical or a digital sign on their profile doing
this.
Well,
they're not going to do that. They would post about it, which you're right. You do not see a lot of posting about this. I think they're afraid. I think artists are afraid. They don't know whether they're going to be downgraded by the algorithm or, you know, TikTok is a powerful platform. And that's sort of why you let your union or your representative fight these fights for you. I mean, I can't tell you how many writers I talked to during the strike last summer who were legitimately afraid and didn't agree with everything that their guild was doing, but they put their faith in this organization, this group, to advocate for it and to hopefully get a better deal in collective bargaining than they could get on their own. And I know UMG is not a union. It is a for-profit entity with its own, but it is stepping into the shoes of collective bargaining here in the sense that none of these artists has the power to affect change because they don't own their masters. They can't do what Taylor Swift does. And they need a label to step in here and fight this fight.
Do they? I mean, look, I think that Universal is fighting the good fight. I think they are fighting on behalf of artists. It is disappointing that they haven't rallied more to the cause. But that to me is it. Like, the point is Taylor brings audience to Spotify and Apple. TikTok brings some audience to Taylor. So if you want her to take the lead, make the case. No one has their finger on the pulse of popular culture like Taylor Swift. She's the best CMO on the planet, I think. What's the value proposition for putting her brand at risk? And I think she was happy to go along with it in the beginning. And then at some point, it's like, hey, we don't have a lot of momentum here. We're all trying to sell some art. I'm trying to sell more than just streams, and I get a service from TikTok. So this may be a battle that she will pick up down the road, to be absolutely clear, because I do think her history, again, is very clearly laid out in supporting artists, I think, as strongly as any artist since Prince. But in this case, it's a more nuanced, complicated argument because she's selling more than streams of the Tortured Poets Department this Friday night. She's got a much bigger business than that.
She also did a promotional deal with TikTok for her last album, where they got exclusive reveals of song titles and other things that were exclusive to the TikTok platform. I don't know if she's done a similar deal this time, but there is a business relationship that she has on her own there. And maybe she didn't want to jeopardize that.
Sure. I think if artists en masse wanted to stop posting on TikTok and actually work together and take down not just their music, but all the content, I think they could make an impact. But again, the music industry has historically been fragmented by design to weaken the bargaining power of artists historically. And I think what Taylor's telling the world now is when you have this power and when you are independent, you get full control of your business and you can make these choices on your own. And that's where we ought to be going. Taylor alone will not change. I mean, listen, she won the Grammy and her boyfriend won the Super Bowl in the span of a week in which her music was off TikTok. Not sure it made a difference. So if that's not the right fight, let's find a different way to fight.
But that's kind of my point, is that she doesn't need TikTok. There are artists, I've seen all the examples of these artists who are big on TikTok and are just trying to establish themselves. And they really need that platform and are suffering because of this boycott. She's a billionaire. Her album's going to do great with or without TikTok. She doesn't need it. And those are the kinds of people who drive change in these standoffs. It's the ones who the platform really does want them back. It's the Ryan Murphys and Shonda Rhimes who they are the ones that suffer the most because they have the huge business, but they also drive change because they are the most in demand. And when they turn their back, if someone comes out and says, I don't support this strike, I don't support this standoff, it does matter. And she is undermining the cause of UMG.
Completely disagree. Why hasn't Warner stood up and said, when our deal with TikTok is up, we're going to pull our stuff down too? Why hasn't Sony done that?
Well, first of all, we don't know what they're saying behind the scenes. And
But they certainly haven't said it publicly.
No, but Sony did make a deal, and Sony has sort of, you know, not been as supportive as you might think. So I agree with you there. But the other aspect here is that if you look back 10 years ago when she was going after Spotify and going after Apple, you didn't see a lot of artist support for her then. I mean, I have had a couple music industry people reach out and say, listen, man, she doesn't owe these artists anything. Where were they when she was fighting Spotify and Apple? There, people like Zayn Malik were like making fun of her. There was no music industry support for this. She was sort of doing it on her own. So why should she stand up for these other artists? She doesn't owe them anything.
I don't think that's how she thinks about it.
No? You don't think Taylor Swift cares what people think about her? I think she probably cares more than anybody else.
Well, exactly. So I think that would make the case to say that she would stand up and do it, because I do think retroactively she's gotten a lot of credit for the way in which she protected and defended the concept of an album going through those times. And I think she's had business relationships with Apple and Spotify. She's used both of those companies to help market this upcoming release. So she's clearly not afraid to go after the business partners that she needs on the business side. Again, it comes back to this, which is, you said that artists are suffering because they're not getting paid from TikTok. Not possible. When artists are making 70% of their money from the road.
Right. No, I get it. The money from TikTok is not the issue. That the money is relatively small. And UMG has said that. It's these artists who grow their followings on TikTok and then make money elsewhere. And those are the people that are really suffering right now.
People are still able to live stream from their events. They're still able to post content to TikTok. They haven't been asked to evacuate the platform. It's simply a business argument that clearly has not signed up the bulk of the artist community. Are you hearing grumblings behind the scenes, really, that artists want to stand up against TikTok, but they're just afraid they're going to be punished? I just think this has not been pitched as something that's unified the artist community behind it.
How long do you think this goes on?
That's a great question that I think a lot of people behind the scenes are asking themselves as well. Because I think people are trying to fall in line and be good soldiers here. But at a time in which marketing budgets are cut and they're asking, you know, it's harder than ever to break an artist, it is a platform that, for better or worse, has been the discovery vehicle for the music industry. And so we are at a somewhat pivotal moment. I don't actually think Taylor Swift's album release has much to do with it, but I think at some point you would expect to see building consensus around this. I think the wild card is that it sure looks like, you talk about being under pressure, it looks like TikTok as a company is under pretty significant pressure. And over the next couple of weeks, they're going to be under enormous pressure from the United States government in a rare moment of consensus across the aisle. If I was the artist community, I might step back and wait and see if TikTok is even going to be allowed on phones in North America before I spend a whole bunch of time on lawyers and war and using my own reputation and putting my brand proposition at risk.
Yeah. I mean, taking that out of it, the...
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln.
Yeah. No, I know. But taking that out of it, assuming that the U.S. government is incompetent and can't get anything done, which I will assume here, the downside of caving, if you're UMG, is pretty significant. If you, after a 10-week, 2-month standoff, say, all right, we're putting the music back and not requiring TikTok to do anything else, it sends a message for future fights that, you know, we, the music industry, you can run over us. And what are you going to take next time?
Maybe. I would come back to, you're right that Universal is big, but Universal is not the entire music business. And the entire music business hasn't aligned around this. I do think you're probably right that Universal's holding out and that there's going to be some level of concession. You know, I was with a let's just call it an executive who represents songwriters earlier in the week. And he was talking about how he'd just come from Spotify's offices and how they're friends now. But, you know, a year ago they were fighting. So these wars that overtly feel, listen, you cover Hollywood like no one else. You know that people make fast friends in this town.
They do. And yeah, when you're fighting over royalties, you make the best deal you can and then you move on. But if TikTok is just simply unwilling to budge here and is fine with just not having UMG music on the platform, it's a tough argument for Lucian to make, that after 2 months, we got nothing. And you artists who suffered, we got nothing. And in the future, we're going to be in a weaker spot negotiating with these platforms, all of them, because everybody knows that we got nothing. So I kind of think they have to hang on here.
I think you're probably right. But I think Lucian is very intelligent. He knows what victory looks like. And we also haven't seen data to tell us what exactly is happening to TikTok now.
Right.
I can tell you there are artist managers and labels who are spending a lot more time with YouTube Shorts and Instagram Reels right now.
Yeah,
100% they are. And those companies have been intelligent reaching out to the artist community saying, come join us, look at our creator tools. So I think if you measure the amount of content that shifted from TikTok to these other platforms, it's not insignificant.
Right. And that's ultimately something TikTok must take notice of. They're probably a little distracted right now, but
I'm not sure that we have enough data yet to declare that Universal isn't winning.
Right. And if they are, then maybe they don't need Taylor Swift.
I wouldn't go that far. I'm not sure anybody'd say that out loud.
It undermines the cause. It just does. I mean, imagine a world in which Taylor had come out and said, this is wrong. My music is not on TikTok. And this is something that we need to fight because of the implications down the road. And if you care about artists' rights, you care about them getting paid on TikTok. And even if it's not a huge amount of money, we are worth taking the hit here.
That opportunity for her to do that lies in front of her. I just would give her a little grace in a moment in which she's got the biggest tour on the planet, going to have the biggest record on the planet, and has the biggest relationship in the tabloids on the planet, all while supposedly writing a movie on the side. She'll be there when it's time.
Okay. All right. Well, Nathan Hubbard, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
We are back with the call sheet. Craig, we got another horror movie this weekend, Abigail, which is a reinvention, they say, of an old Dracula movie about Dracula's daughter. You're looking quizzical right now.
Couldn't be less in my wheelhouse.
I know, me neither. We'll see. The horror hasn't done great this year at the box office so far. And I don't know whether that's the general audience's softening for this genre or whether the movies just haven't been great. But this is a real test because this movie was not cheap. It was like $38 million budget.
$28 million.
$28 million. Okay. So still not, you know, low budget horror, but the tracking is at about $10, $11 million for the weekend. I'm actually going to take the over because the star, Melissa Barrera, is a Latina actress and Latinos typically over-index on horror. There was an interesting McKinsey study this past week about how much money Hollywood is leaving on the table by not featuring Latin actors more and by having such a lack of diversity in the executive suite from Latino executives. And I totally agree. I mean, we've seen it over and over again where these numbers come out and the demos show that Latino audiences are over-indexing in movies, yet you don't see many Latino stars.
Yeah, that's something we should probably do an episode on in the future. I wanted to ask you a question. So this movie's budget, $28 million, tracking is around 10. What is the necessary budget to opening weekend ratio for the movie to be on track to make its money back?
That's tough because some movies go on to a higher multiple after opening weekend.
Right, but there has to be a general rule of thumb.
Horror is front loaded.
Okay.
Horror tends to drop off after the first weekend because the fans come out and then it drops off. The better question is, what is the multiple you need on box office to be profitable? And it's usually the thinking is 2.5. You take the budget of the movie, the production budget, and go 2.5, and that's what you need to be profitable. So on this movie, let's round up to 30. You'd need $75 million worldwide box office for this movie to be profitable.
But how much would you need to make on opening weekend to get to 75?
I don't know. I mean, that's like, it's hard to answer, again, because horror is more front-loaded. I mean, maybe we can bring in an expert on this to discuss horror trajectories and whether things cross over. But, you know, this movie, I think, with that budget and with this opening weekend tracking, unless it really overperforms, it's going to be tough. Might do better overseas, might do better international. Again, a Mexican actress, Melissa Barrera, she could help in Latin America. Although she's kind of controversial after the Scream stuff. She got fired from the Scream sequel because of her Israel-Palestine comments. Although I feel like the backlash to the backlash has now started on that. And she's like now kind of a folk hero.
I don't have any thoughts on any of that. I know.
We are not going to enter into that foray. But
this is also directed by the same duo that directed Scream that she also started.
Yeah, that directing duo Radio Silence is behind this one. So I think they probably wanted a little bit more in the tracking for this one, but we'll see if it overperforms. All right, that's the show for today. I want to thank my guest, Nathan Hubbard, producer Craig Horlbeck, our editor, Jesse Lopez, and I want to thank you. We will see you next week.